Good day, good people. I am Brother Robert Farrell, and welcome to Contemplative Inner Beings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live here on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday and become part of the post-program conversation. We'd love to hear from each and every one of you. But whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying one of the recordings, thank you for being part of Contemplative Inner Beings programs. You know, Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, to really open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of the human heart and your consciousness. This evening, we're going to encounter, let's see how we want to do this. Last week, we tried a more poetic version and a little bit shorter and more routine pauses to be a little more contemplative. We can do that this week, or we can do a little bit more of a narrative type reflection and do three of those with a pause after each one. So if you have a preference, I'll give about 20 or 30 seconds for you to type that into the chat section. In any case, after each reflection, whichever style we use, you have an opportunity to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. To resonate, just to really see if something connects with you, to feel it deeply in some way. It might be symbolized by a word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect is an opportunity to ponder deeply, to meditate with words and images and thoughts. Respond is an opportunity to really respond to how you hear the divine calling to you. And you can do that in all kinds of ways, such as journaling or prayer or body movement, and rest, to simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life, to hold gently what you've received and let it do its work on you. Tonight's theme is sacred space, so with an open heart, find your calm, centered presence. Take a gentle breath. And we'll just gently receive these different sharings and see how we might have our hearts opened in some way. Sacred space is an inbreaking of divine reality. Modern people have an uneasy and weak connection to sacred space because we live almost entirely in profane space. Now, sacred space is experienced when something profoundly brings an individual into the present moment. And that can happen in moments of fear or loss. And during these times, everything revolves around one central reference point. This sacred space can persist for days or weeks, and it can really alter one's perception of the world. The Hebrew prophets, now they possessed a profound experience of sacred space. Their calls, as described in their writings, outline transformative moments in sacred space. Their perception of reality really just underwent a significant shift, making the ordinary appear extraordinary. In establishing places for individuals to embark on a profound journey and a profound search for God is crucial to really be able to create those spaces, and leading to an opportunity for people to develop a critical consciousness. know, not everyone's going to embrace this agenda. The prophetic gift can be cultivated and awakened in individuals. It really can. And we do this by acknowledging and naming this prophetic gift. By doing so, more people may recognize its occasional presence in their lives. And we can operate prophetically, maintaining a commitment to the broader perspective and tradition. And we can do this while being free to critique it. Now, the central fact in religious experience is this felt sense of awareness of meeting God. It wouldn't be a religious experience unless that happened. And the individual in the experience seems to come into possession of what he or she has known as being true all along. The thing that is new is the realization of it. He or she is face to face with something which is so much more and so much more inclusive than all of his or her awareness. And in that moment, there are no questions. Even if only for a moment. Now, friends, everyone carries the divine light of God within them, and we are all equal regardless of our title or our socioeconomic status. God speaks ceaselessly to us, and it is in quietness and stillness. Those are our prerequisites for hearing that soft, gentle, wordless communication of God. And it's why in our sessions on Crowdcast, we try to give at least some space for that quietness and stillness, even though we still tend to be so wordy ourselves. It's actions emerging from silence that should facilitate the end of social injustices and the creation of a more benevolent world. Silence, silence, and in that silence, we feel as though we are alone by ourselves with our noise. Somewhere in that hour, we pass over the invisible line, and we become one with all seekers. We are a human spirit involved in a creative moment with human spirits in the presence of God. Silence, silence, silence. Let us practice that now to resonate, to reflect, to respond, to rest. Before I move into these next two reflections, I want to take just a moment to re-describe a little teaching about what liminal space is. Now, liminal, the root of that word is actually means like a threshold. So when we are in liminal space, it's like standing on the threshold of a door where we are betwixt and between. Behind us, still visible to us, is an old perspective of the world. And on the other side of the threshold is something that we're invited to, we're drawn to, but we really don't know what it is. We know it's beyond us. We trust, you know, that God is leading us into this space. It's a very sacred space. This is where all transformation takes place. So now entering into these reflections, both life and religion can invite us into liminal sacred space. And we have to allow ourselves to be drawn into sacred space, into that liminality. Like I said, all transformation takes place here. And there alone is our old world left behind, though we're not sure of the new existence. And that's a good space where genuine newness can begin. It's the realm where God can best get at us because our false certitudes are finally out of the way. And this is the sacred space where the old world is able to fall apart and a much bigger world is revealed. So if we don't encounter liminal space in our lives, you see, we start idealizing normalcy. So we can think of this threshold as God's waiting room. Now, liminal space doesn't have to be difficult. It can be challenging. It can also be extremely rewarding. You see, we discover there is another center, and it's not me. Thus, what liminal space does is it relativizes our perspective. And when we embrace liminality, we choose hope over sleepwalking. We choose hope over denial. We choose hope over despair. And the world around us becomes again an enchanted universe. Solitude, peace, and refuge. Contemplation that arises in collective experiences of crisis, against all odds, that becomes transformative sacred space. When a crisis impacts a community, we collectively plunge into a space of stillness and unknowing, a shared interiority of potential and spiritual rebirthing. And after each crisis, everything in its own degree, but after each crisis, questions loom, and a crisis forces those that are caught in its clutches to come to terms with the fact that life as we know it may never be the same. There's little that we can do, but we can be. We can listen. We can love our neighbors. And we can host the spirit that utters over every dawning day. The transformative benefits can emerge from crisis if we allow them. That's God's work, right? To take that which is unbearable and find its transformative power. And so crisis contemplation, it's a Barbara Holmes term, she's got a book by that title, crisis contemplation becomes a refuge. When everything around you is beyond your control and you shatter, you find within you a space of solitude, peace, and refuge that allows you to begin to gather yourself again. Again, not always easy. Crisis contemplation becomes a wellspring of discernment in a disordered life. A wellspring of discernment. And there is, in this moment of shattering, this is where we can do nothing and we have an opportunity to be still. So let's honor those opportunities by entering into the silence and taking time to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Friends, whenever you're led out of normalcy into sacred open space, it's going to feel like suffering because it's letting go of what we're used to. There's this always painful part. It's always painful, but part of us has to die if we are ever going to grow larger. If we are not willing to let go and die to our small self, we won't enter into any new or sacred space. Now, the prophets, they lead us into sacred space by showing us the insufficiency of the old order. Now, the priest's role is to teach us how to live in the new realm, but they never really lead us out of the old order, where we are still largely trapped. And in this new realm, everything belongs. Darkness and light coexist, paradox is revealed, and we are finally at home in the only world that has ever existed. And my dear friends, this is true knowing. It's here. Here, death is part of life. And failure is part of victory. Opposites collide and unite, and everything belongs. And in mature religion, the secular becomes sacred. There are no longer two worlds. They've come together. Nothing here below is profane for those who know how to see. Do you know how to see? That is contemplation. And we need to refresh our seeing through contemplation because we forgot and we start clinging and protecting. Unless there is a readiness to let go, we will not see the vision of the whole. W-H-O-L-E. So dwelling in sacred space ultimately involves seeing God and the world through a unified vision. And we need spiritual creativity, like art. Art can amplify the sacred and challenge the status quo. The art, they help us to hear above the cacophony in the midst of our multitasking. The arts engage a sacred frequency that is perforated with pauses. Artists learned that there were things too full for human tongues, too alive for articulation. You can dance and rhyme and sing it. You almost reach it in the high notes, but joy unspeakable is experience and sojourn. It is the ineffable within our reach. And when you least expect it, during the most mundane daily task, a shift of focus occurs. The shift bends us toward the universe, a cosmos of soul and spirit, bone and flesh, which constantly reaches toward divinity. And all things draw from the same wellspring of spiritual energy. And this means that the sermonic and religious can be mediated through a saxophone just as effectively as through a pastor. God breaks into nightclubs and Billie Holiday's sultry torch songs. God tap dances with Bill Robinson and Simone Glover. And when Coltrane blew his horn, the angels paused to consider. And the mysteries of divine human reunion erupt in our lives when, in fact, the otherness of spiritual abiding is integral to human interiority. And my friends, given Christianity's preferential option for the poor, the cross-pollinization of jazz and blues and taps with church music and practices could be considered the epitome of missional outreach and spiritual creativity. The epitome of missional outreach and spiritual creativity. And it is all born from the sacred pause in the sacred space of silence. So let us go there and nurture our creativity, our art form. Let us resonate, reflect, respond, rest. Friends, I hope that tonight gave you some opportunity to enter into sacred space, or to at least realize where you've had that experience in the past, and to revisit it again, to birth that social justice action, to birth that art and creativity. And we are about to enter into our time of dialogue and discussion and reflection here on Crowdcast. So at this point, we say goodnight to our YouTube and podcast listeners. And we share with you this reminder each week that love is the way, and that you are love. So please stay awesome and be love, and we hope to see you again soon.